go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 10th day of May, 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. It is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between, and the great globe around. And where, if you do pop in right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Ralph and Squeaky and Theo. And, of course, capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmer just extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Hey, Roger, best wishes to your beloved as she recovers from cataract surgery. Congratulations on that. And a quick and happy and healthy healing. And a happy birthday tomorrow to our very own Ralphs, whom we love dearly, as she turns 69. Happy, happy, happiest birthday, Ralph, from the entire Horn Family Community Congregation. Yes. And, of course, if you are a member of the podcast community, the standard request, and it is a request, it's not a demand, it's just I'm asking that you like every episode of the podcast. If you are taking it at a platform that offers you the opportunity to put in a review, make some remarks, that sort of thing, please do. Thank you. In advance for doing that, because it's a way that in which we can grow our little community and add more voices to this group of people of great goodwill. Of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, as a consequence, we say thank you to our 10th day of the month subscribers and contributors. That means thank you ever so kindly to Joe and to Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. Thanks as well to Charlie jumping in to take us down to $1,140. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks to our dear friend Joey and the gang. Joey with a note to begin the program. By the way, yeah, I said that. Yeah, we're at 1140. As far as fully funding the first 10 days of May is concerned, that's $240 of Tuesday, all of Wednesday, all of Thursday, and of course all of today that waits to be funded. So, thanks very kindly to everyone who helps to keep the bills paid and keep everything up and running. But yes, Joey with a note from himself and the gang. On this day, May 10th, there was quite a day in American history, beginning with what year in your
Today in school, we learned about how the Native American people used to perform rain dances to bring water to their dry regions of the country. So I did my own little dance because, well, I took the room by a storm as I held court with my dance steps.
Oh, yes, yeah, so I got it, Junior. That was your way of supporting Stormy Daniels in court this week. However, Junior, I wonder if the class was very amused as you seem to have, well, you know, you have two left feet. Actually, Stephanie Clifford did take the courtroom by storm as she recounted her sordid tale of the incident with Donald Trump in 2006 in Lake Tahoe. She explained that Trump used coercion and practically raped her, as she actually never consented to his advances but just had no way out of the hotel room. Clifford believed she was going to be a part of one of his television shows, and that's why she went to his suite for dinner. So, contrary to popular belief, Stormy Daniels was not behaving like a hoe in Tahoe, but rather... Really? Giraffery? Really? A hoe in Tahoe? Oh, for shame. But rather, she believes she had a chance to be part of Trust Television Show. I really think Clifford thought that since Donald Trump was married that he was not going to put the moves on her, but apparently the orange turd did so, and this appears to have been part of a manipulative move by Trump and bad scene rather than a television scene.
Okay, thanks, guys. As I was saying, it was on this day back in 1869 the United States was connected from coast to coast by the first transcontinental railroad. Really, it was a transcontinental railroad. It was painted pink, blue, and white. Sorry. Every time I get to make a joke like that, I do, because it somewhere... it makes some transphobe or TERF cry.
Yeah.
Who's talking here? Joey is. Yes, the country was actually brought together in, of all places, Promontory, Utah, when the final golden spike was driven into the ground. Now, after the aforementioned orange turd got done with his term in office, a major spike has been driven into the heart of this country, and we're more divided than ever.
Isn't Utah the home of Mitt Romney, the guy who put his dog in a cage on top of the station wagon while traveling on vacation?
Well, yeah, Stranger, the Republicans seem to view dogs as a nuisance, as they appear to hate all forms of life. Then there's Mike Lee from Utah, who is constantly acting like a dog when it comes to spending, with one of his famous lines being,
"It is simply science fiction fantasy to say that if you do not raise the debt ceiling, that everything will collapse." Oh, thank God, some sanity. Bless her heart, there's Joey Two the Kangaroo. On this day in 1872, Victoria Woodhull was nominated by the Equal Rights Party, which she'd helped establish as a candidate for president. She's considered to be the first woman to run for president in the U.S., though women had not yet been allowed to vote. The suffragists aimed to change that. The party nominated Frederick Douglass for vice president, but he did not acknowledge the nomination out of fear of retribution. It, by the way, my country of Australia was the first country to allow women the right to vote all the way back in 1902.
Well, thank you, Joey, too. You're such a sweetheart. Also on this day in 1994, South Africa inaugurated its first black president, Nelson Mandela. The anti-apartheid activist had been imprisoned for 27 years until his release in 1990. Of course, in 2008, the United States elected our first black president, and then in 2016, we elected our first orange president, and he should go to prison for at least 27 years for all the crimes he's been involved with throughout the course of his entire life.
Good job, Giraffe and Joey Two the Kangaroo. You too, Junior. On this day in 1865, Confederate President Jefferson Davis was captured by Union troops near Irwinville, Georgia. Davis had planned to escape to Texas and build a new Confederacy, but he was captured by Union forces despite wearing a disguise, his wife's cloak and shawl.
Hey, he should have taken his wife's cloak and dagger.
Well, that's correct, Junior. Had he done with the cloak and dagger, Jefferson Davis could have kept his disappearance a mystery and made it all the way to Texas.
Wait, you all missed that? Jefferson Davis tried to escape in drag, and you didn't make any comment whatsoever? Huh.
Oh.
Good point, guys. Speaking of Texas, can you believe the latest polling results showing Ted Cruz 13 points ahead of Colin Allred?
Didn't that guy abandon his dog, not to mention the entire state, during the power outage years ago? What the hell's wrong with you people in Texas?
Esther, and your crows did abandon the dog and the people of Texas, but please try not to swear. Let's put it this way. What the fuck is wrong with you people in Texas? Hell, after what they did to Kate Cox as she had to flee Texas for a healthcare-related issue due to a failed pregnancy, and you psycho right-wing religious wretched women are still going to support him? Junior's correct. What the hell's wrong with you?
On this day in 1773, Britain's Parliament passed the Tea Act in an effort to save the East India Company from its financial woes. Later that year, fallout from that measure led American colonists in Boston to organize the Boston Tea Party. Yesterday, Freedom Works, the right-wing organization that was backed by the Koch family as it started back in 2004 and it was behind the Teabagger movement, abruptly shut down. Freedom Works attacked democratic measures for business regulation and social welfare because it embraced libertarian principles, even though the Koch brothers were and are the ultimate libertarians. Its revenue dropped by half since 2022. Its president, Adam Brandon, told Luke Mullins of Politico, but in the end, what did the organization in was Trump and the split over him.
Oh, hell, Donald Trump is so bad he can even drive apart his own party as well as the contrary.
Damn straight. Good point, Jeffrey. By the way, I personally know Adam Brandon, as his brother Jeff and wife Amy attended my wedding. Yes, Adam Brandon, whose real name is Christopher and was the president of Freedom Works, is a real piece of crap. I once asked him to his face, "Hey, A-Dom, do you have that operation yet? You know, the one where you get your lips removed from Charles Koch's fat ass? Fuck you and your tea party bullshit. Sorry, too much gin on the cornflakes." I've mentioned Amy Brandon in this presentation many times in the past, as she's a lawyer and a great lady. She told me that even though she vehemently disagrees with Christopher, that she accepts him because he's Jeff's brother. Well, Amy's a better person than I, because I don't care whose family member's involved. I have no use for racists and bigots, since I don't care for much of my wife's family and never cared for my father-in-law for his use of the N-word and blatant racism. I'll have more on that on Monday. May 4th came and went, and that was the 54th anniversary of the Kent State protester shootings was observed. Martin Luther King in 1967 gave a powerful speech on his objection to the Vietnam War, and he was roundly ridiculed by everybody, including the NAACP. Over 150 newspapers canceled his opinion pieces. He was shunned because of the speech on April 4, 1967 at Riverside Church that denounced the Vietnam War. Recently, my mother said, "I really like your writing, but I wish you'd get rid of the giraffes and Joey, too. I like you what you have to say, but I'm not sure about the animals." Hey, Mom, I don't know how to tell you this, but all of the writing is me, Mom. I hope you're okay and understand that the animals are fictional and, well, you know, wait! The animals are fictional? What? Well, they're very real to me. They live in me. Quit it. My mother turns 85 today and appears of sound mind, but I was worried a little about that one. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you, and I'm glad you're still of sound mind even after raising me. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and all of you stupid mother humpers that continue to support a total misogynist pig like Donald Trump. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday on the Front Porch, the 10th day of May, 2024, with Giraffrey questioning his existence. Oh, Giraffrey, Joey 2, Junior, you're real. I promise, you're real. And you're real to the entire Horn Family Community Congregation. And so, with that having been said, there's a $25 Mother's Day challenge on the table. Mother's Day is, of course, Sunday. And I'm trying to figure out if Annette wants me to cook here at the house or if she would like to be taken somewhere. I think she would rather I cook simply because she's not crazy about the idea of going out and fighting the crowds for a seat in a decent restaurant. Bill Ulrich says, "You missed a llama bill for Joey. Jefferson Davis should have used his wife's cloak and dagger." Okay, if you insist. This appears to have been a part of a manipulative move by Trump and bad scene rather than television scene. Billable, I absolutely refuse to give out a ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong for Ho in Tahoe. Stormy Daniels is not a hoe. Or a sex... Well, she's a sex worker, but she's not a hoe. She is an adult film star emeritus. Emerita. There. Okay? Yes, I did, Matt. Ralph's is turning 69 tomorrow. Matt. She is. It's her birthday tomorrow. Say happy birthday, Matt. And by the way, Ralph says, and Joey, it's stormy in New York and New Jersey. And that, and I went out today a little bit earlier on a quick errand, and I hadn't been outside all day, didn't check the weather or anything. So I just put on a pair of shorts and a little top and turned around and came right back in. It was cold. So I had to come in and get my dysphoria hoodie and put that on. And it was so nice because it's got a soft, insulated interior and made things ever so much better. It's brutal. For Mother's Day, Lee in New York says, please give a llama bell for all the mothers and what they went through raising all of us in the Horn community. Hear, hear. And special thoughts to those of you who, like me, whose mom is no longer with you. Your memory of her is her experience of eternity. So, big blessings on Sunday. Not a good look, says Steve in New York. A friend of mine has relatives in North Carolina. He relayed to me that he's seen houses there that have the devil's diaper and Israeli flag flying in front of their houses. Kind of puts an exclamation point on the notion that evangelical support is about millennialism and not support for Jewish people. Well, there's an unpleasant connection between the two, Steve, and I know you know. Oh, I see. Ralph said, the only problem with me being in the chat room is any post that she makes disrupts the stream for her. Speaking of disrupting the stream, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's due to happen while we're on air. But have you been reading about this monstrous, humongous solar ejection? Solar flare, a geomagnetic storm. Between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. this evening, if your skies are clear, the aurora borealis may even be visible in more northern states of the U.S. Almost certainly visible in places like Wisconsin, Minnesota, the UP of Michigan. And thank you. Thank you, Ralph, or Matt. $69 challenge. Ralph's is always tossing money in the horn hopper. I'll match up to three people who toss in $69. Oh, my goodness gracious, that's huge. That would be a big boost to knock down some of the fundraising goal for this evening. So, if there are three people who want to kick in $69 to say happy birthday to Ralphs, Matt'll match it. So that's big, big, big. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. And I know Ralphs appreciates the birthday wishes. That's so kind, Matt. And you're right. Ralphs is there so very often, and she's an absolute an absolute dear of the community. So, three people, $69. Matt will double each one of you. That's tremendous. Be wonderful. And it'd be great if we could knock it out before we even get into the go across the river and through the woods to the old holler tree where we sublet, which we sublet from the Keebler Ferengi, represented by the John Wayne Law Group, apparently. Senior partner Sage Todd. And of course, if you'd like to participate, if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch before, you are mighty welcome to do so. There's a button at the top of headon.live, and that'll carry you right into the chat, whether you got Skype or not. So, new voices are always, always welcome. Yeah, Randy Radar, man the pod, it's an ion storm. Yeah, here's hoping the command post doesn't get rocked too much here. Mostly cloud cover here, so I don't know if anything's going to be visible this evening this far south. Solar ejection? Lee in New York says, we need protection. Nitwit Nero would tell us not to worry. It'll be over fast. Stormy can confirm. Oh, Lee.
It's cute.
It'll be over fast. Story can confirm. You don't just get this kind of participatory quality everywhere. You don't. On a reminder, Tara and I will be finishing up our little stint of filling in for Mike Malloy this evening at 9 p.m. on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. We've had three Tara and I keep thinking about trying to figure out how to do a show together. And we were talking about, you know, doing a show that was primarily focused on women's voices. Would there be any interest on the part of the Horn Family Community Congregation for something like that? Maybe we'd do it, once a week or so? And we'd do video, too, somehow. Because I've appeared by video on Tara's show, but a standalone program. We haven't come up with an absolute working title yet. But I think Tara and I can knock down an hour of conversation without even trying. We add more voices, and I think it could be an even more thoroughgoing and rollicking conversation. This in from Charlene in Rogues Island, a founding member of the Society of the Sorority of Leans. Charlene says, happy birthday, Ralps. I'll match her challenge. And Ralps is actually an acronym for her true and given name. But it's how I've known her since the very beginning, since the very first time I met her. So, but yeah, R-A-L-P-S, Ralps. Thank you, Charlene. That's wonderful. So there are two more $69 challenges available to be met, which Matt in San Francisco will then double. Thank you. There were issues last night. I don't know why. Maybe it's the solar flare thing, but Ralph said last night's show started about 10 minutes late for me. I was a couple of minutes late. Was I 10 minutes late? Stream latency, internet weather, magic, eldritch wizardry. I don't know. Emilio wants to know, will Clarence be making an appearance this Friday? We wanted to hear more from you, Clarence, and yes, bring on the Tara into Robin show. Ah, see what you did there, Emilio. Shame on you. I don't know when we would do it. Tara's busy. Tara has a real life, and she does her show, of course, every Friday night at 8:30 over at Tara Buster on YouTube. YouTube.com/TaraBuster, I believe is what it is. And you can also, I think, find her on Facebook. Yeah, you maybe, Maybe a Sunday afternoon show or something like that, or a Sunday evening show. Maybe Sunday morning. Then again, I'm not sure what Tara's work schedule is, so there would be some work involved there. And huge thanks to Tara, by the way. If you go by my campaign website, Robin for All, RobynForAll on Facebook, you'll see the beginnings of the 2024 campaign poster. And Tara is an absolute genius when it comes to graphic design. She comes up with such beautiful ideas. So if you'd like to see it, go over to Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, for All. And I'll try to post it on my regular Facebook page, too, just so people can see what's coming. They will be the most noticeable signs on the roadside once we've scraped up enough money to have them printed. This is some of her best work. I absolutely just love it. It makes me so proud to be her friend. All right. We'll be heading over to the Old Holler Tree here in a little over a half an hour. And like I said, jump in if you want. Randy Radar says, I just wish that some reporter would work Tuesday through Saturday and cover on Saturday the Friday evening document dump from the White House. Saturday is a news wasteland. It depends on your opinions, but there are... Samantha. Some of the MSNBC morning program is pretty respectable. I'm sorry there. You know, a couple of nights ago, Dave in the Blind was talking about Love Being in the Air down there on the Fighting Cephalopod Squad. And apparently it's going on here. Stink bugs. You know, they're absolutely benign. They'll freak you out because they don't fly worth a damn. And so when they, you know, land on you, in your hair, wherever, it's like, ha! But for several days now, I've been, well, it feels like an Attenborough documentary. There have been a couple of stink bugs, and I'm not sure if they're buddies or if one's a little bigger than the other. And they walk around my ring light here in the studio, and then they go walk about. I know better than to hurt them. And, you know, they don't bite, they don't sting, they don't do anything like that. It's just they're really obnoxious if you happen to screw up and step on one. Or if, perhaps, say, your golden one sees one fly past and snap! No, that's... But these two have been walking around on the ring light, and every now and then... I mean, nature's so cool. Every now and then on the ring light, they walk up to each other, and they face each other, and they sit there, and I think they're communicating because they touch their tentacles, their antennae, not tentacles, I was thinking about octopi. They touch their antennae to each, and they wiggle them, and it's like, hey, how are you? Oh, great, how are you? Oh, I love what you're wearing. Oh, you're just fabulous. Thank you for being so kind. Could it be stink bug love? I don't know. I hope that doesn't negatively impact dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, but I suppose there's always that possibility. I caught one earlier today. You know, I'll be a gynist before long if I'm not careful. I helped one crawl up on a piece of paper towel this morning and took them outside and said, shoo. And then after I let them out outside, I was like, wait a minute. That may have been a death sentence. There might have been some bird sitting around out there. Of course, we just snack. Oh, thanks, Roxanne. I was perfectly happy in the studio. Nice little warm ring light and everything. New girl talk. Maybe Irish Dave, I don't know. The ladies' room? Shut up. Roxanne, quit it. The Robin and Tara Show. Lee in New York says, I would not ask more of you. I will speak for the Horn community without consulting anyone that we have deep appreciation for the 15 hours you give us each week. The other 153 hours of the week are allocated as you wish. I did the math. Lee, acknowledging you from New York City. That's so sweet of you, Lee. Thank you. The other 153 hours. Is it 156? No, 158, 168 hours, huh? I wonder where I'm frittering all of those away. Planning for the 15 hours. A lot of it, yes. There will be some frittering tomorrow, though. I've got to get the riding lawnmower going. And got to try to get the weed eater going. Because as much as I love all this nature around me, there's also the issue of ticks. And the lovely Annette had a horrible bout of Lyme disease last spring, about this time. And I don't want it, and I don't want her to ever have to deal with it again, because she's still dealing with the after effects of it, and Lyme disease sucks. Little bastard got on her back, and dug, and they're, you know, Lyme disease ticks are tiny. And within, what, less than a day, these huge concentric rings had appeared on her back like unto a bullseye. So when I took her to urgent care back then, she lifted up the back of her blouse and went, oh yeah, that's classic Lyme disease. And she's like, well, great, thanks. It hurts. It sucks. And they put her on a massive course of antibiotics, and the external signs cleared up, but some of the internal effects, I think, still bedevil her to this day. So I got to get outside and take down some of the jungle. And it's spring, and, you know, I just need to tidy things up. I need to clean up my outdoor kitchen for more food porn fun as the summer moves on. So cross your fingers for me, please. I'm going to have to get up and go and probably go to Lowe's. We don't have Home Depot or anything here. Probably get up and go to Lowe's and see if I can find a battery for the riding lawnmower, and then eventually get it up and go on. And oh, there's so much work to be done this summer. Sorry, I'm just talking a little bit about the minutiae of my life of indolent boredom. But of course, there are things that have been going on all day long, and one of the things when I talked off air to Tara earlier, I said I've been doing a lot of thinking about this present trial of Nitwit Nero, and what with the passing recently of Orenthal Simpson. Sort of comparing and contrasting that in my mind. America was fixated on the OJ trial because, of course, of the lurid details. This was a murder, of course. But also because we were able to watch it. And for the first time, for many people, getting to see what an actual judicial proceeding looked like and sounded like was a big deal. Of course, I am still pissed off that we do not get to watch this trial and judge the credibility of the witnesses for ourselves. But I confess this is getting exhausting. Not that I want it to end or anything, but the prosecution did say today that it was entirely possible that they would wrap up their case in chief next week. Michael Cohen is yet to come. And that may, for all, he may be the final witness. I don't know. I found it interesting that the prosecution noted that they had not called Alan Weisselberg as a witness. And frankly, I wonder why. I wonder if Alan Weisselberg, even though he's in the stir now, I wonder if he's holding fast and maintaining omerta where all this is concerned. Nonetheless, during the trial today, the giggles. The giggles broke out in the courtroom as the jury kind of put their hands over their mouths. The first part of the proceedings today involved yet another motion for mistrial, which in turn led to Judge Merchan actually telling Susan Necklace, thank you, Darlene, that he was astonished that she didn't object when Stormy Daniels started talking about the orange pervert not using a condom. And there was great detail there. Stormy has a latex allergy. So if she thinks she's going to be getting it on, she carries her own, you know, non-latex. So, you know, she won't have an allergic reaction. So she was not, and that goes to prove that she was not at all prepared to be having sex with Orange Julius Geezer. And so Judge Merchan came perilously close to suggesting that Susan Necklace had engaged in ineffective assistance of counsel because she didn't object, and so it went in the record, and the jury heard it. That was practically the judge saying, you know, if you'd objected, I would have sustained. But that's not my job here. I'm not here to do your job for you. What, do you work with Alina Habana Habana Habana? Counsel for the parking garage? George Conway... The giggles were actually yesterday, but George Conway said that the jurors were literally suppressing laughter. It was a hell of a little moment, as Conway described what he was seeing in the courtroom.
Denying his request to modify the gag order he's under so he can talk about Stormy Daniels. And capping it all off, Stormy Daniels' tweet this evening saying this about the former president, quote, real men respond to testimony by being sworn in and taking the stand in court. Oh, wait, never mind. Back with the panel, joining us, conservative lawyer George Conway, who was in court today. What were your takeaways?
My takeaway was that the continued cross-examination of Stormy Daniels was a complete disaster and a fiasco for the defense. I mean,
a rabbit hole they didn't need to go down?
It just went on and on, and they didn't have anything on her. And you got to confine crosses to basically a few short lines.
He's right.
Of stuff that's good. They didn't do that. I think what happened was they had a day off, and Necklace is a very good lawyer by reputation. And you can tell just by the way she conducted herself. She knows how to cross-examine a witness and knows how to ask questions. But her client is a narcissistic sociopath and who is obsessed with proving the lie that he didn't have anything to do with Stormy Daniels. And so they went off on this whole tangent on basically the defense's position should be it doesn't really matter whether that happened or not, because even if it was extortion money, even if it was extortion money, it still could be a crime. But trying to prove something that happened didn't happen is just, it's just counterproductive. And it was, it just got to the point of ridiculousness where she's asking Stormy about basically a map of South Lake Tahoe, Nevada to figure out whether or not she was walking in her heels one block or two and where she took a cab. It was just garbage. And it was embarrassing, and to the point where, you know, if you control the witness, by keeping your cross simple and short, you can control the witness. But the longer you go, the more the witness can pop off at you. And this woman is way smarter than Necklace's chunk client, and she got some really good, I mean, I thought I saw jurors at some point trying to do what I was trying to do, which was suppress laughter. At some of the shots that Stormy got into into the record, it was just a complete waste of time. The good news for the defense is that's not what this case is going to be about at the end of the day. The defense made the mistake also of putting this all into, they could have just stipulated that we're not going to contest what happened in South Lake Tahoe. And we're just going to focus the jury in on the fact of whether or not there is proof that Donald Trump knew about the records that we claim were that the prosecution claims were falsified. Now, let's leave apart the fact that he signed some of this stuff with a backup next to it, and he carefully read it. It was $35,000 to his lawyer, who hadn't really done that much for him. Let's leave that aside. That's what this issue. That if he gets off, that's how he's going to get off. By leaving.
Oh, he
this
got
issue
off. Took about 15
what happened
seconds.
In that hotel room. They invited the prosecution to dump all the stuff in the record. Then they failed to object to some of the stuff that they should have objected to, like the bit about, you know, whether or not he wore a condom. I mean, the judge said today he didn't think that should have gone in, but there was no objection.
Well, to the thing about the amount of money and how closely he paid.
The Conway's analysis was solid. And when when a hostile witness is sitting there zinging your client because of the questions you asked, they're not going to have a good weekend. And then they were laughing again today. Caitlin Collins and Paula Reed at CNN described the situation evidence was introduced of Nitwit Nero's tweets. They didn't call them excrements because it was still Twitter back then.
Dan, his testimony will decide this case. Now, it is his call to make. His lawyers will defer to him. He gets to have the final word. I'm told that the results of the Sandoval hearings, so what does and does not get to come in, what passed bad acts, including E. Jean Carroll, the results of that apparently didn't have a huge impact on his assessment here. It's still unclear. I think his legal team would certainly prefer that he not take the stand. Any lawyer in America would prefer that their client not take the stand in this situation. But if he does, it would decide the case, what comes out of his mouth.
Well, and right now they're showing tweets that came from April 2018. I believe it was April 9th that Michael Cohen's house, his apartment, his office were raided. These are tweets from Donald Trump about Michael Cohen. I'm not sure which one this is, but it may be the one where Donald Trump was saying, initially when everything was happening to Michael Cohen, Donald Trump was saying, oh, I'm not worried about him. He'd never flip. Michael Cohen's been very loyal to me. And to see the total 180 that relationship has done is so remarkable. Just Donald Trump and Michael Cohen, I mean, it's easy now to see where their relationship has totally deteriorated. But Michael Cohen would do essentially anything for Donald Trump when he was running in 2016.
Yeah, and before that as well. I mean, he was his longtime fixer, his longtime right hand. I mean, he was doing the dirty work that no one else wanted to do, which I think he would also agree to that, at least particularly now. The thing about Michael Cohen and the relationship with the former president, I do want to remind us, remember when that office was raided? And again, you said Michael Cohen will never flip. But the one thing that we all paid attention to, the fact that there were tapes.
Well, and this is the tweet that they're reading right now, which is apparently prompting laughter in the courtroom. The tweet said, if anyone is looking for a good lawyer, I would strongly suggest that you don't retain the services of Michael Cohen. I mean, the irony in that is Donald Trump retained Michael Cohen's services for decades and is precisely why, you know, we're sitting here outside the courthouse right now.
Exactly. And the next tweet.
I think that's the textbook definition, the dictionary definition of hoisted on one's own petard.
I mean, I hired him for 10 or 20 or 30 years, but do as I say, not as I do.
That's not a name for the Robin and Tara show. What are words for, says Matt in San Francisco. The theme music already exists. That's great. Lee in New York making a prediction. Trump will not take the stand. He won't do it, even if they gave him a golf cart to get there. Ramalama. Hey, ding dong. That's exceptional. He won't take the stand because there are rules for what happens when he takes the stand. And he will be savaged by the prosecution. He'll be lucky to get out of it without extra charges, you know, perjury. And his lawyers, please, please, sir, please, in the name of my law license, don't take the stand. You're going to lose us as your lawyers if you do, because when you start lying, we can't just sit there. We have to go up to the bench and say, Your Honor, we need to remove ourselves from this case based upon our inability to work with our client any longer. And every judge under the sun, I mean, maybe not some of the maggot judges, but they know that that means, Your Honor, our client is up here right now lying his head off, and we are not going to be any part of suborning perjury. Okay, can we keep our licenses now? Thank you. And there was another exchange that Steve reminds us of, Steve in New York. Don't know if you heard this. A friend of mine read about this exchange in court. Susan Necklace on Cross. Isn't it true that this whole affair is fiction? Stormy Daniels replied, if it were fiction, I would have written it much better. And, okay. This just in from Gary Seven. Just to be clear, the John Wayne Law Group has declined to represent the former president and all of his minions. I have no doubt he asked, but, well, that gives me more respect for the John Wayne Law Group. Y'all are not to be trifled with. Right up there with Lawyer Daggett. Lawyer J. Noble Daggett of Near Dardanelle in Yell County. You remember the great Arkansas and Mississippi Steamship and Transport Company? I do. Lawyer Daggett put them into receivership. Oh, and apparently, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Barron Trump Research Department. We reported, as did many outlets, that Barron, having turned 18, was going to be a delegate for him daddy at the Republican conclave this summer. According to the Daily Mail, take it for what it's worth, Barron Trump is declining Florida's offer to be a delegate to the Republican National Convention this summer, citing prior commitments, according to his mother's office. Norman? Yes, Mother Bates. Prior commitments. Yeah, getting ready for maybe to go to dear old Penn like Daddy did. Or maybe getting ready to go to the University of Transylvania like Mama did. Or somewhere. Slovenia State Agricultural and Technical College. I'm being a bitch and I know it. There's real news out there today, make no mistake. There certainly is. There's a new book out. It is by George Stephanopoulos and Lisa Dickey. It's titled The Situation Room, The Inside Story of Presidents in Crisis. So it's not just about Nitwit Nero, but it's unfortunately got some Nitwit Nero in it. And former defense secretary for 1 year, Jim Mattis, who despised the nickname Mad Dog, so naturally that's the nickname that Nitwit Nero used, who had risen all the way to commandant of the Marine Corps before he retired in 2013 as a four-star general. I'm sorry, he was 43 years in the Marine Corps, rose to commander at U.S. Central Command, and then retired in 2013 with four stars on his shoulders, and became defense secretary, Trump's first defense secretary, in 2017. And he quit when Nitwit Nero bailed out of Syria. He told Geezer Disgustus, "You're going to have to get the next Secretary of Defense to lose to ISIS. I'm not going to do it." He had previously blasted his former boss back in 2020 in an open letter to the Atlantic, saying, "Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try. Instead, he tries to divide us. We're witnessing the consequences of 3 years of this deliberate effort. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership." And then also in 2020, in rage, Bob Woodward said that General Mattis had reported that Trump was unfit and dangerous in the office of the presidency, and was utterly without a moral compass. Well, in this new book out from George Stephanopoulos and Lisa Dickey, they interviewed a guy named Tom Bossert. He was the Homeland Security Advisor in the White House from 2017 to 2018. And Mr. Bossert, in discussing his term in service of the presidency, said that Nitwit Nero didn't want to go to Situation Room briefings because he didn't like going to the room. And instead, he felt like the generals should come to him, you know, I'm sure belly crawling, of course. Mr. Bossert said, "I mean, you couldn't get Mattis into the White House." Also in the book, Mattis is said to have described Nitwit Nero as a madman in a circular room screaming. I wonder if we know just how close to disaster we came and just how close to disaster we are now. Out in the wider world, the UN General Assembly has actually voted in favor of Palestinian nationhood. Despite the Security Council veto by the United States, to our eternal shame. The 193 member General Assembly overwhelmingly approved and backed a Palestinian bid to become a full UN member state. That vote recognized the Palestinian people as qualified to join and recommended that the UN Security Council reconsider the matter favorably. It was 143 votes in favor to 9 against. And, of course, that included us and our partner in peace, Israel. 25 nations abstained. Unfortunately, it does not serve to provide membership to the Palestinians, but it says that they're absolutely qualified to join. The resolution they passed said that the body determines that the state of Palestine should therefore be admitted to membership and recommends the Security Council reconsider the matter favorably. Palestinian Ambassador Riyad Mansour, in debate before the vote, "We want peace. We want freedom. A yes vote is a vote for Palestinian existence. It's not against any state. It is an investment in peace. Voting yes is the right thing to do." And almost the entire body applauded. Well, of course, that couldn't go unremarked upon, so consequently, UN Ambassador Gilad Erdan, who got a word in after Mr. Mansour, said, "As long as so many of you are Jew-hating, you don't really care that the Palestinians are not peace-loving, because UN membership is only open to peace-loving nations." He then pouted and bitched and moaned that the assembly was shredding the UN charter. And while he stood at the lectern, he pulled out a prop. He had a little tiny shredder, and he shredded a copy of the UN charter while he blathered on. Shame on you! Meanwhile, the United States tried to cover for its perfidy, and U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Robert Wood, said, "Our vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood. We have been very clear that we support it and seek to advance it meaningfully." Meaningfully is an adverb, is doing an awfully big lot of work there. "Instead, it is an acknowledgement that statehood will only come from a process that involves direct negotiations between the parties." In other words, the United States says that Palestinian people who deserve to be free have to ask Mother May I of an Israeli government that is wholly, entirely, and completely fascist and contains members who want to have prisoners, unarmed prisoners, murdered where they stand to clear space in prisons. So with this vote, the Palestinians at least get a seat in the assembly hall with other UN members, but they don't get a vote. And see, the thing is, in the UN General Assembly, Palestine is represented by the Palestinian Authority, not Hamas. Hamas is not peace-loving. But apparently no one can get through to the Israelis that they're not the king of the world, that they're not the special snowflakes they think they are. And so it was that during the debate, the Israeli delegation could be seen during the vote, yucking it up and laughing.
End the bloodshed. Free all hostages. Protect innocent civilians. And ensure immediate, unhindered access of humanitarian aid. Protect innocent civilians. And ensure immediate...
And this Israeli woman is sitting there, ha, 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 turning around and looking at her butt, ha, 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 ha. Disgusting. And, oh, by the way, Israel, overnight, their fascist cabinet decided to piss on the shoes of the United States. and the war cabinet voted to expand the operation into Rafah, thereby calling the bluff of President Biden on further military aid to Israel, because Israel will do what they want. And it just sickens me to think that we're going to sit there saying two-state solution, until Israel starts building casinos on the Mediterranean shoreline of the Gaza Strip. The fascist Israeli government, however, is saying that this expansion is a measured expansion and doesn't cross Biden's red line. Another source, however, told Axios that the approved expansion includes actions that could be interpreted by the U.S. as crossing the red line. The cabinet also instructed the Israelis negotiating indirect talks for a hostage and ceasefire deal to keep trying, I would say, in bad faith. And then there he is, Needle Dick Ben-Gavir. The source is speaking to Axios, said that he and his buddy Beelzebub Smotrich voted against the decision. Because it wasn't bloody enough. It wasn't enough of a blitzkrieg that they want Rafah leveled. I don't know if there are enough Palestinians on planet Earth to satiate the bloodlust of those dirty fascists, Smotrich and Ben-Gavir. Israel is getting perilously close to hostilities with Egypt, because when they overran the Rafah crossing earlier this week, the Israelis, they barely consulted with Egypt at all, and Egypt is pissed. And as a consequence, the Egyptians then refused to send aid trucks, including fuel trucks, through the Kerem Shalom crossing between Israel and Gaza. And the Biden administration is saying, you better reopen the crossing. And things are so unstable that the UN can't even send its own trucks to the Kerem Shalom crossing to pick up aid themselves. Almost no fuel whatsoever has entered Gaza since May the 7th. And Israel is not willing to accept money from the UNRWA, who has the money to buy the fuel. An American official said, this is precisely the kind of thing we warned the Israelis against. It's a microcosm of everything the Israelis have done for the past 7 months, which is why we don't trust them at all to do Rafah right. That's the Biden administration saying that. One of these days, we may figure out that they're not actually our friends. Israel's response, Ron in Raleigh says, haven't you noticed that we like pissy shoes? Unfortunately, you're right. Oh, and back here closer to home, you know, we had the story yesterday about the tennis stand company. Was it yesterday or the day before? The tennis stand company that just got busted and had to pay $650,000 in fines and enter a consent order because they were stone-cold busted employing children who were then put to work cleaning slaughterhouses and chicken processing plants in Virginia and Iowa. Well, the goddess of irony doesn't miss much. In Jefferson City, the state capital of Missouri, Stan, a Missouri maggot actually stood up and said that child labor laws in that benighted state need to be relaxed. This after children were maimed in Iowa and Virginia and died in brutal circumstances. So, yeah. The Missouri maggot, it went so far as to say that children are lazy and they should get jobs like she did at the age of 9. I'm pretty sure Cherry Tolson Reich, who got her job when she was 9, was probably what, babysitting? She wanted a change to a requirement for children under 16 to get a certificate from their school before they could get a work permit. And she said, at what point are people going to be self-responsible? Some people seem to think that government is the answer to everything. Meanwhile, maggots like her think the government is the answer to nothing. Remember the infamous words of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, who said, well, the 9 most dangerous words in the English language, Mommy, are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Well, Sherry Tolson Reich wasn't done.
These young kids need to be taught self-responsibility. And I can tell you my personal story. I started working at age 9, and I continued to work throughout high school when I was 14, 15.
She graduated high school at 15? What, was she homeschooled?
She said, yeah, you know what these kids of today are? Majority of them are lazy. They don't know what work ethic is, but they know how to play video games all night. They know how to join gangs. They know how to get into trouble, get a job, and be responsible. Vote yes.
Ooh, what a hot mess. Yes, her last name is Reich. It's Stephen, New York. It's actually R-E-I-S-C-H, not R-E-I-C-H. Reich. This is Reich. Lazy 9-year-olds joining gangs need to get a goddamn job. Look, I suspect my experience is not far different from most of the Horn Family Community congregations. I started wanting things as I got a little older. And so during the summers, I could most often be found pushing the family lawnmower up and down the street where I lived, offering to cut people's yards for $5. $5 went further back then. And I had several houses that I mowed the grass every week. It's probably where most of the freckles came from, and they've just stuck around for a while. But once I turned 16 and could drive myself where I wanted to go, that would be January of 1979, first thing I did was go and get a job at a radio station. And I worked Monday through Friday from 6 to midnight. And Sundays, Sundays were rough. 6 a.m. to noon, in which I had to produce the insane maunderings, ramblings, and barkings of preachers who would buy time from the Gospel Voice of Northwest Alabama to shriek into a microphone, play off key pianos, and that sort of thing. Ugh. That was really the end of my relationship with Christianity, listening to those men of God. But the thing is, the children, and Cherry Tolson Reich knows who the children are that she wants to put to work. They're little brown children who mostly speak Spanish. And she doesn't care if they lose limbs or lives cleaning butcher equipment in slaughterhouses. She's a maggot. So Sherry Tolson Reich's new bill would say that only a parent or guardian has to sign a permission slip for the employer, and then, well, the kid's yours. Sponsored by a guy named, a maggot named Representing Dave Hinman, who said,
With discussions with our superintendent and other folks around here, we felt it was better that the parents make that decision instead of SCOOs being the ones that sign off on it.
Normal people are not in favor of this. John Fleiter, who teaches political science at K-State University, and is a scholar of child labor, speaking to the Missouri Independent, said, we need to be careful because at that same time that some states are doing this, weakening restrictions, we're seeing an increase in child labor violations and some really bad cases over the last few years. Yeah. Fayette Sanitation Services, FSS, $650,000, and maimed children. But Missouri, having a maggot legislature, this thing will probably pass like, well, unfortunately, poop through a goose. So I have Phil Rockster too far into the second hour of the program. I will note that we have two more $69 slots to fill, courtesy of Matt in San Francisco, who will double three $69 happy birthday contributions in Ralph's name, wishing her a very happy 69th birthday tomorrow. And that would be considerable help. We'd finish off Tuesday, and then we'd only have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to deal with. So hopefully there's a couple of people out there who want to jump in on that $69 challenge. In the meantime, we should go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Orcs and see what's on folks' minds. Again, new voices are always welcome on the front porch. And if you absolutely cannot get to headon.live and use the button there or use Skype, you can always use the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, and that'll get you right in. I don't know why the call failed. Let me see if I can get back in. Okay, I think I'm in. Let's see what's doing.
Don't know why the call failed.
Oh, I'm echoing. Okay, I think I'm in there. Roger, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. I heard me coming back at me, and that's always distressing.
Okay, I think I'm in.
It first came up saying you were unavailable.
Yeah, I've been having an issue. The echo's got to go, and I think I see who's doing it.
Great. I heard me coming back at me, and that's always distressing. Okay. I think
Jeremy Hutchins, I think, is
first
the one.
You were unavailable.
Hello.
Yeah, I've been having an issue. Okay, no, the echo's got to go.
Oh, this is madness.
Jeremy, if you well, let me do something else here. Damn, where are they? Here we go.
Yes, sir. Do you hear me?
Participants. I have just muted Jeremy Hutchins. Give it another try, Robin.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay. Yeah, that's too much Hutch. Hey, too much Hutch. You've got a something's going on with your audio. But the echo is not there now, so that's a bonus.
I think what it was is I had the show playing in another window.
Ah, that will do it.
And then you entered Skype. It's great to be here for the first time.
Oh, happy to have you here. Here, have a ram a lama ding dong for popping by.
Yay. And here I didn't plan on talking. I think I'll just observe, he said. Oh, well, great to be here.
Happy to have you. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Gary Seven just sent a note. Methinks Ms. Kincaid is picking a fight. Lou, methinks Ms. Kincaid is picking a fight. Gary Seven, on the other hand, has said several people have mentioned to me that Barron Trump is autistic. That's been going around for a very long time. No way of knowing. He's very definitely autistic. Ah. Don't try this at home, y'all. I'm a trained broadcast professional. Oh, Ralphs, how sweet. That's what a hobbit thing for you to do. Because, you know, when hobbits throw birthday parties, the person celebrating gives gifts to other people. Ralphs just said, I'll contribute $25 to anyone else's contribution. Responding to Matt's challenge. For her 69th birthday. How sweet, Ralphs. Thank you. Emilio says the 8 scariest words in the English language are,
I'm a Republican and I'm here to help.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. Emilio asking, sorry, I had to count. If the government is such a lousy institution, why are you in it, legislature lady? There we go. Absolutely. Irish Dave, is that a headline or what? From breaking, Barron Trump pops political cherry, joins big dogs in arena. Well, now apparently he isn't Irish Dave. And Irish Dave's on a roll. Sorry, I can't seem to help myself. When Michael Cohen testifies, will he deliver the money shot as a climax to this trial? Oh, Gnad Gnid. It was really bad. But that's what everyone's waiting for, I suspect. Monday and Michael. And Steve in New York. Mentioning going, I thought the same thing the guy on the news saying. I was thinking they should have just conceded the affair. That would have rendered so much of the sordid testimony overly prejudicial and very likely inadmissible. Now it's all about the peach colored perv's gross behavior. But remember, that might have been what his counsel would have done had they had a non insane client. But instead, they've got Trump.
But apparently, didn't he already agree that the affair happened in a previous California case?
I'm not. That one snuck past me. If indeed that happened.
You know me. I listened to radio while I worked, and I was out in the yard. And I think it was on Randy's show that it was brought up that there was a case in California, and the brief encounter was stipulated to in another legal case. So if he is to try and attempt in any way, shape, or form to go on the stand and say it never happened, there is the potential of a very quick perjury charge.
I don't know that it would result in a perjury charge. Bringing in a record from a foreign jurisdiction, and that would be the case, can be somewhat of a complicated matter. And whether the stipulation was in a civil or a criminal matter probably plays into it. But if that is indeed the case, it would be, I can't imagine that the prosecution doesn't have that in their hip pocket waiting for them to, you know, take the bait. And as Hillary Clinton pointed out, you can bait him with a word, and he will always take the bait.
Not a puppet, you're the puppet.
Remember? Oh, and thank you to our kind anonymous internet friend who has met the second of the three $69 challenges, courtesy of Matt, for Ralph's 69th birthday. Thank you, kind anonymous internet friend. And thanks as well to Christopher, who filled part of one of the challenges. Thank you so much, Christopher. Anything for 69, Christopher said. Christopher. And so there's $41 to go on the final slot. So thank you so very much, Christopher. Plus a gnid-gnod for, you know, the comment. Let's see here. Has anybody besides Roger heard any of that, or anybody got any research on it?
About Trump admitting to the affair?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard anything about it. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Pretty good.
I
kind of feel like I have in my travels. I can't place my finger on where. So I think Roger might be correct.
I'm getting so tired of the arrogance, and that's an understatement, of the Israeli cabinet. And, you know, with the Hamas heart thing. Who did that, Ben-Gavir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I really despise that little punk.
I mean, and then today you said with the UN, with the laughing. And the fact that they don't allow the UN, I mean, something's just not right since this whole thing went down. And you know that. We all know that. But, and remember, you know, I'm going out here. You know, you said Putin was probably involved with October 7th, and I wouldn't doubt it. But it's just something's just, you know, when the UN can't get in there, I mean, we got problems. I'm being a little basic. Well,
I mean, but they don't want the UN. And
I'm sorry, not to you, but go ahead.
Look at why they shut down Al Jazeera. That was one of the few outlets that was actually able to report from inside Gaza and shine the light of journalism on a genocide. They're trying to keep their dirty doings in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty obvious.
If it was up to Israel, we would never know about the World Central Kitchen workers that they slaughtered.
Yep. I don't know. Something's got to get corrected there, and I just want the cabinet to be gone and let the people take that country over, the people that want to do the right thing.
Well, the problem, okay, none of there.
I know it's not that easy.
I was
going
to say there are no easy answers here, Kevin. But
I know it's not easy.
But the thing is, honestly, Israel is only going to get well when they leave the occupied territories. When they kick the settlers out from the land that they have stolen from people in the West Bank, and those militant assholes, one and all, whose leaders are people like Ben-Gavir and Beelzebub Smotrich, only then will Israel have a chance at redemption from this hateful conduct.
Yeah.
What they've done is entirely out of proportion with what was done to them, and what was done to them was horrible. Make no mistake, it was horrible. And Hamas should pay a terrible price, but Palestinian mamas and premature 7-month babies shouldn't be the ones paying the price for Hamas.
I mean, you're going to have generations of people now that are going to just remember. Everybody's going to be affected by this for generations to come, and not going to.
And Hamas does what they do, so people will scream and yell about it and cry and say it's genocide. They embed themselves like the Taliban did, like ISIS does, like any terrorist group does. I understand. Sympathy for the loss of life for the innocent. Excuse me, let me show a woman. But rattling on about it isn't going to change a goddamn thing. They're a sovereign nation. They can do what they want. I mean, it sucks, but they can. And
I know.
I hate to say, if the tables are turned here, we wouldn't do much different. Don't kid yourself.
It's good to ramble on about it, though.
Well, I'm sick of having that little country perpetually humiliate the United States of America, who has been the best friend they have ever had or will ever have.
Yeah, like the 51st state.
There's probably more federal aid that goes to Israel than goes to some of the 50 states.
I bet more than West Virginia, no offense.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Chilly. You were chilly this morning, huh, Robin? Yeah, it was chilly here, too.
Hell, it was high noon when I walked out the door. And it's like, oh, screw this.
I had the day off today. I had a dentist appointment, and I was like, damn. I was going to wear shorts, too. I was like, nah, screw that.
Well, today's my first day of wearing shorts for the year.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, 3 days ago, maybe 4 days ago, the temperature was like 58 degrees. And yesterday it was over 80. Today I'm pretty sure it's over 90.
Oh, wow.
And of course, is anybody, because, you know, I don't weird out a lot, but is anybody weirding out a little bit about this humongous solar storm coming at us? I've seen stories all day long. Could disrupt GPS, could disrupt satellite-based communications, which is, of course, every communication now.
Yeah. I've heard about it. I haven't checked the...
What's the weather like where you are, Kevin?
Right now it's cloudy, and it's about 52 or 3. Looks like it may want to rain, but I don't see rain in the forecast. Tomorrow it's going to be about 60.
If it clears off between 10 and 2, you've got a viable chance of seeing the Aurora Borealis, which is just
nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. It's cloudy now, though. It's overcast for the most part.
And speaking from an electronics technician perspective, yes, it is possible for an electromagnetic storm to disrupt all communications. And if it was strong enough, it could actually fry every car that was made since about 1970 that has any kind of electronics in it. It could fry all your cell phones, all your computers, TVs, the whole nine yards. The chance of that happening are about as great as Trump getting on the stand and admitting he's a war criminal and a total asshole. But
you still get points and condensers? You still get points and condensers if you want them? If you had an old car like that?
Oh, I've got a 1966. How little driving it, you know, it doesn't have a bit of electronics in it except for the radio that doesn't work. But it's not the original radio.
And it's also British, so, you know.
Well, it is British, but it's the old points and condenser and carburetor.
I had none of that
electronic fuel ignition crap.
I had a cousin. He has since passed. I think he had an MG Midget.
Oh, yeah.
And the heater didn't work in it. And he would literally build bonfires in the ashtray with wooden matches.
To warm his hands.
Yeah.
But you know why they put rear window defrosters on MGs, don't you?
No.
Yeah. Keep your hands warm when you push them.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I just checked the, and I know you're not there, but I just checked the weather for Boston. But and the skies go clear at 1 a.m.
Okay.
In Boston.
All right. I'll check it out. Starting around 10 o'clock, I'll take a look. I'll walk out my deck.
Yeah, so maybe you'll experience some clearing conditions after midnight.
Let me check my weather here while I'm on there.
The other thing with regard to this Aurora Borealis, if you are basically south of the Canadian border, you are probably going to have to be in a very dark area to be able to see them. If you're inside a city or anything of that sort, your chances are going to be between slim and none. And the wife and I have both decided that by between 10 and midnight or 10 and 2, we're both going to be horizontal. If I get up to take a leak, I might look out the window and look to the north and see if there's anything there. But I'm not getting in the car and driving out of the town.
One of the benefits of living in a pitch dark place like I do, all the light pollution is to the south. And lo and behold, I've got the same forecast that Boston does. It clears out for me at about 1 a.m. It's partially clear at midnight, so I think the odds are long against me seeing anything, but hell, I go to bed late anyway. I think I'll probably go outside and just check because I'd love to see him.
Same here. Partial clearing, 1 a.m. I got slight chance of rain all night. It's overcast.
Have you ever seen him, Robin?
No, never.
Yeah, I was up in Canada. Oh, by the way, hello, everybody. Sorry
hey, Steve.
I was up in Canada. My dad and I, we used to go on fishing trips up in northern Ontario. And we saw them. It's really eerie. They were just basically like these greenish, at least what we saw, were these greenish streaks across the sky. You know, it's the ones that I saw weren't like the bright, you know, the bright multicolored ones that you see in photographs. But it's kind of an eerie sight. But it's cool. I was really, really young when I saw it. But, yeah, it was cool.
Well, you know, there are even records, there are pre-Columbian records that at one point in time, and it caused quite a stir, you can imagine. At one point in time, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, were visible in Tenochtitlan, which, of course, is now Mexico City.
That far south, that's cool.
That must have been a humongous solar ejection. Mm-hmm. And if the account that I read is, if I'm recalling it correctly, it was the same year it snowed there, too.
Wow.
There were a series of ill omens and bad portents. There was the Aurora Borealis snowfall in Tenochtitlan. And then what they referred to as a hairy star in the sky, a comet.
Was it the 19th century where one year it was like cold, the whole world was cold because of a volcano? Did that happen like?
Yeah, that was the 19th century with, the eruption of that humongous volcano in what, Indonesia?
Yes.
Krakatoa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Krakatoa, right.
The year that summer never happened.
Right.
At least that's what it was considered to be in London, Britain area. But that was the year that didn't have a summer. 1843 or some damn thing. I forget now what the...
Well, it has been super warm here, but for the most part, but it also has been super cold at night. We've had like no frost this growing season. Usually we get like one or two frosts. Haven't had any. You know, not even like down in the 30s or anything like that. Also, anyway, if you threw tomatoes in, I'm saying you'd be... If you rolled the dice and threw tomatoes in a few weeks ago, you'd be all right.
Well, with the coming of Mother's Day weekend, the ancient wisdom around here. You can put your garden in now here in West Virginia and not be afraid of frost.
1883 for Krakatoa.
I thought it was the latter part of the 19th century. Thank you, Roger, serving as the Horn ad hoc Krakatoa Research Department.
That means my grandfather was 9 years old when it happened.
How cool. It would be 11 years before my grandmother and grandfather were born. Grandmother and grandfathers.
Speaking of gardens, I took the greenhouse down today because it's real close to Mother's Day, and I posted some pictures of it, which is why I was a little late to the party, although people probably didn't notice it. But anyhow, it's a rule of thumb here in the Willamette Valley is you don't put tomatoes or peppers out until Mother's Day.
Yeah. Oh, and thank you to Too Much Hutch. Thank you so much. Too Much Hutch jumped in alongside Christopher and finished off the third slot of Ralph's 69th birthday challenge. So, hey, that's awesome. Now we are completed for Tuesday, and everything else will go toward Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If we were to wipe out Wednesday, we wouldn't be facing a $1,000 fundraising hole come Monday. So that's fantastic.
Well, you're welcome, Robin, and it's a pleasure to be a part of any 69 challenge.
Oh.
Y'all.
We're in Alabama?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Gnad Gnid, Steve.
I was like, is that a Gnad Gnid? Yeah,
that's a Gnad Gnid.
Yeah. Formerly known as FKA. Gnur,
yeah.
Oh, but you know what? I really wanted that to be a Rama. I really did, but I asked.
No. It's Christopher last Friday with the Goebbels mansion.
Okay. I haven't gotten the deed for yet, so I'm still waiting.
you wrote. I'll take it.
Yeah. I was going to do that. I honestly am going to look into doing it.
Better hope Stephen Miller doesn't beat you to it.
He's Jewish. How ironic. Yeah, that would be.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you could get the place, Steve. Wait a minute. Just work with me here. I'm having a brainstorm. You could get the place. And you could turn it into a dinner theater, and you could just have one show all the time. Well, no,
Straight Time for Hitler.
No, the producers. Yes, yeah, that's where that comes from.
Right.
Or maybe it could be a repertory company, and you could also do cabaret.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Cabaret for the serious side, and the producers for the madcap, wacky, zany side.
And that way we would always be making fun of the Nazis.
Yeah. But because they're so ironic, the little creeps would show up and you could take their money from them.
Yes. Yes.
And just remember, if Stephen Miller goes there, he'll take a big old jet out airliner there.
Oh, shame on you, Chris. 2 weeks in a row, Christopher. And I'll have you know, I know the real lyrics to that song. And I don't appreciate you maiming them. It's Bingo Jed Had a Light On.
I remember you talking about that one time. That was funny.
And Matt in San Francisco sends me an email about that poor dove flying in circles in 3, 2, 1. Just like a one-winged dove sings a song, sounds like she's saying, ooh, baby, ooh, said ooh, while flying in circles, because she's a one-winged dove.
Makes sense to me.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Steve.
That email I sent you about, my friend told me he saw flags more than once, Confederate and Israeli flags. There's something else that I looked up on the internet, and I was very skeptical. I wasn't sure. But there is a – you know these little, like, flag lapel pins? It's like two flags crossing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well,
I've seen multiple offers online lately to give to some revolting grift, and they will send you a crossed Israeli and American flag pin for your lapel.
Oh, this is a crossed Israeli and Confederate flag pin.
Ugh.
It's the I did a little bit of research. It's a company out of Germany that is doing this, and I have a feeling they probably don't quite get what that really is, but apparently you can buy them from that company.
Well, it's interesting you would bring that up, because I've got a song from way, way back when. Don't play much music here anymore, but this is worth queuing up. If I can get a little cooperation. There it is. It's by Jason Ringenberg from 2004. And the lyrics are perfect to this moment. Let me just cue that up for a second. By the way, the name of the album was Empire Builders, and it was fantastic then, and it's fantastic now.
Germany, where I love to go. Then how come I am seeing right in front of me? My Lord, there flies a rebel flag in central Germany. My Lord, there flies a rebel flag in central Germany. Mercy. Riding peaceful on this train, enjoying the scenery and mellowing my brain. Then stuck atop a free barn there for all to see. The omnipresent rebel flag in central Germany. A massive Confederate flag in central Germany. Boy, that's a lot. thinking how will Jason write his way out of this? Think.
Isn't that apropos, Dave?
Yes, very much. Yep.
Russian flag, yeah, Confederate, Russian double flag pin, too.
I'm sorry, I lost part of that, Kevin.
Confederate and Russian flag.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but because, of course, they, it's like I was talking to Clarence about last night. Back a few years ago, the League of the South, dumbass rednecks, entered into some sort of alliance of proud white Russian people. And that's not the good white Russian, Steve. You know, like the dude drinks.
Now that gets a Rama Lama. At least I think so.
Okay, well, thank you.
The dude imbibes.
The dude does imbibe. Yes, Christopher.
I like that, Christopher. See, there you done good for yourself.
For yourself. Yeah. Every now and then, the rural Ohio sneaks out. From behind your metropolitan Gotham facade.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that metropolitan Gotham facade, I will be trading that for a not so metropolitan. Burlington, Vermont facade.
Because Pepperidge Farm remembers.
How was it, Steve?
No, I'm going next week. I'm going from the 14th to the 16th. Not that long. I just want to kind of get a feel for it. If I get there, and I talked to my mom about it. She said, Steve, you will know. If you get there, you will know pretty quickly if this is it.
No car inspections in Vermont, Steve.
No what?
Car inspections.
Well, I don't have a car.
Oh.
Well, lucky for you, you won't have to have it inspected.
Yeah. I mean, I have one, but it's in sitting. I was going to get it fixed and redone, but it's in sitting outside for like 3 or 4 years. It's probably got 4 flat tires and what, eventually I'll
okay,
have to.
Okay, we're okay. Now we're all intrigued. What kind of car?
Volvo.
Of course it is.
Well, those are nice cars.
This is an old one. My partner gave it to me.
Well, see, I was going to say, Tracy and her partner have a Subaru, which they're supposed to, and you have a Volvo. You're just checking off boxes, Steve.
Okay. But that's my Volvo. My partner drives a BMW. He drives a BMW EV. I don't remember what the name of it is.
Of course, if I was keeping up with the Joneses, I'd have a Trans Am.
Oh, I love it. Too bad they don't. Well, do they make those anymore?
With a leaky T top? No, they don't make Pontiacs anymore. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I had an Oldsmobile 88, 1994 Oldsmobile 88. That was a nice car. Lasted me a while.
Oh, those were a great ride.
Yeah, weren't they? Unibody.
Yeah, and the Electra. That was the Buick. Okay. That was the Buick version of the 88, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't make the 88 anymore because Nazis would buy it.
Oh yeah, right.
No, I'm banging on all cylinders this evening, y'all.
Oh, I see what you did. The lava, poor Rama. I just brought my vibe back to life. It had been sitting, like yours, Steve, not that long, but since Inga died. But now that I have Arlo here, I need a dog car. So I brought it back to life. And now I have to do what you were saying, too, is fill up the tires. All I got to do is fill up the tires, and we'll be on the road.
I can promise you that this thing, if I do decide to actually do it, it's probably going to be way more than filling up the tires. It's going to involve probably for the most part, rebuilding it. It's an old car, but I'm attached to it. So
it's a Volvo. It's if you can rehabilitate it, it's bulletproof.
What year?
96. So it's old.
Oh God, I remember what the Volvos looked like back then. Those, is it the kind of squared off?
Yep.
Oh
yep.
God, those were wonderful. Back then, I wanted a few years earlier. I wanted badly that squarish Volvo turbocharged station wagon.
Mm.
It would have been perfect for my then growing little family. We wound up in a Ford Windstar instead. Slab-sided thing would get blown all over the New River Gorge Bridge every time we got it. Scared Annette half to death. Well, I mean, high winds on the New River Gorge Bridge are nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, yeah. Some of these bridges are ballroom. Big one.
I'm going to try to do something here. I don't often interact in the chat, but I think this will work. I hope it will work. I'm going to put into the chat. The new graphics for what I hope will be my campaign signs.
Yeah.
Which chat?
The Skype chat.
You want me to grab it and put it in the other as well? Not really, no real need.
Okay, come on. Didn't happen. There it is. And if you want to, grab it and put it in the other chat, Roger, so everybody can see it.
Well, there's only Squeaky's the only other one over there. Okay. But I don't see for all of us.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's not there yet. It will be.
Oh, what's this?
That's what will be my campaign poster past the primary.
Oh, okay. You can hear my big old jet airliner air conditioner.
Yes, I can hear your bingo. I can hear your bingo jet had a light on.
All right, I'll go mute.
You're fine. No, it's not distracting. It's no worse than my air conditioner.
It's very low.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, you're good.
I can't really hear it unless I listen for it.
Yeah. Isn't Tara just a genius?
That's awesome.
And it looks nothing like anybody's signs.
No, that's super cool.
And so if I can raise the necessary funds going forward, I'm going to plaster them all over Area 51. I mean, District 51.
Okay,
this is a little conversation. Tell me what you think of this. Now, the House... thank you too much, Hutch. I like the Robin. Too much Hutch said. I've got another idea. And what happened was with the 2020 census, they redistricted us, and the maggot legislature decided that we should have a 100-member House of Delegates. So that means 100 districts. Well, it just so happens that the district where I live turned out to be District 51. And so I immediately thought... Wouldn't it be awesome if that was area? And so the idea for this campaign poster came to mind. And what I thought was showing the Gorge Bridge by moonlight. So it'd be like all black behind it, and you'd see the bridge silhouetted by a full moon. And it would say, and then using that military stencil font, vote, Robin, House District 50, and then at the bottom, underneath the picture, it would say area with a red line through it, slashing it out, and then scrawl in District 51. Wouldn't that be cute? I even toyed with the idea of putting a flying saucer in it.
Or an alien head.
Or an alien head. I decided to not go with the alien head because I didn't want anybody thinking I was an alien. It's bad enough that what some people think of me anyway. Would that be worth pursuing?
I really like that.
Which that?
Well, I mean, the one that you showed here. You said there was another one?
Well, the one I was thinking about was also thinking about was the bridge.
You're going to do another one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's nifty and it's eye-catching.
Or maybe do that for T-shirts?
T-shirts, yeah. There you go. And I like it. I mean, yeah, I think it would be catchy.
T-shirt.
And
great T-shirt.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good sign, too.
Yeah, it would work for either. Definitely. Yeah. I like that idea. It's catchy. Gets the wheels turning a little bit, maybe, for folks. I like it.
You got to get people's imagination.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, vote for somebody, just a name and nothing really in the background, you know. That doesn't turn any heads. That doesn't make anybody start thinking. I like that.
Oh, this is funny. Ralph's just sent this to me. A sign on a liquor store display, you know, where you can, you know, Jim Beam, $20, whatever. Trust our nation again to the orange doodle is like trusting Christy Gnome to walk your poodle.
Ooh, I like that. That's a Rama Llama for sure.
That came from Democratic Underground. Thank you, Ralphs.
Hey, question. Animal House, was it Rama Llama Ding Dong or Shama Llama Ding Dong? So hit it.
Shama Llama Ding Dong.
Yeah.
Shama Llama Ding Dong. Okay.
That's our second Animal House reference in as many days, isn't it?
What?
Didn't catch the first one.
Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no, and it ain't over now.
German states.
Forget it, he's rolling.
Forget it, he's on a roll.
When the going gets tough.
Toga.
Tough get going, so who's with me? Let's go.
Gotta love it.
I gave my love a cherry that had
no stones.
I gave my love a chicken had no bones.
Steve, I love you, but we're hemorrhaging listeners.
Okay, sorry.
Can I see your guitar? I was kidding.
Ralph's, no, the Facebook page, if you search, is just Robin, Robyn, 4, Forall.
You know, when I think of the Big Lebowski now, the first thing I think of is Scott and the fact that we razzed him for what, a couple of years, at least 2-3 years for not watching the damn movie. You remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just became the running joke every week.
Yeah, have you seen
Finally
it?
Finally, he watched the damn thing and it was the best movie he ever saw.
Yeah.
Hey. Aren't we coming up on the anniversary of his passing?
Next month.
I don't know.
Wasn't it June 19th, I think?
Yeah, it was the 10th.
Really?
Might have been the 15th, 14th.
Oh, my God.
Because we only found out about it on July 4th.
Yeah.
And yeah, I kind of had a little on-air breakdown.
Yeah, we all had a breakdown. Yeah,
I remember Scott. Oh, Scott was great. He was great.
I miss him.
I think I just brought the mood down. I apologize for that.
No, that's okay.
No, I brought him up. I'm sorry.
We're all just thinking about
his coffee mugs.
What he'd say.
I always think about what would Scott say.
Well, what's so prescient in this moment leading up to the election is getting back to a reality-based reality, you know? You know, everybody and their ponies and all the protests going on and the school campuses, not to say that those aren't worthy. I mean, yes, they're worthy causes. I totally agree with that. But yep. Let's all get back to reality-based reality and make the pass the quadrennial IQ test, collective IQ test.
You need to get to
make sure we do that.
The end of the Holy Grail movie. All right.
Scott's signature. Stirring his coffee before he said a word. Always making ding-ling-ling.
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, yeah.
Yes.
And the way his microphone on his earbuds would scrape on his shirt.
Yep.
Scott, move your microphone.
Mm-hmm. You know, Robin, who I wish we could hear talk is Scott and Mr. Stress.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Ugh. That would be awesome to sit there and listen to them talk about this.
Robin, yeah. I think I sent you $20 with a message.
Yes, $20 getting us down. We're started funding on Wednesday now. Jeremy said, here's $20 for Steve not singing for the rest of the program. but hold on there, Steve. I want you to know, Darlene just wrote in and said, hang on. I actually liked Steve singing a cappella.
I thought it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it really wasn't. Yes, I mean, got any choir experience, Steve?
You know what?
I agree with Darlene.
No, I don't. But I have had people tell me that I should try out. We have, you know, not to bring church into it, but my church is about 2 blocks from Juilliard. So we are blessed with or fortunate, however you want to say it. We have a very, very, very high end. It's about a 40, probably 20 to 30 person choir at my church. So.
Oh my.
Yeah, we have like Easter Sunday was trumpets and drums and organ and piano and all that kind of stuff.
You're welcome in my choir. I'm a church choir director myself.
Robin. Really?
Yes.
How cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm consider myself a freelance musician. And if you play the piano or the organ, you're pretty much done with your Sunday mornings for the rest of your life. So.
Because some church will find you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I went to school with a young man who was at the time studying organ, and he's still playing at a Presbyterian church to this day, and we're the same age. And speaking of musicians, it's been a while. Because I think of people we don't hear from.
Lady B.
Well, Lady B, of course. Yeah. But, and it's been a while. I haven't heard from Arnold in PA.
40.
What was the other guy in PA? John.
It's been a while since we heard from John. And
I always loved hearing from John.
And our friend in Erie.
I've been really terrible with getting in touch with people via the telephone. I guess I got millennial disease or whatever. I haven't talked to Jude in a long time. I haven't talked to
haven't heard from Jude in a while either.
And on a prescient note, how's John's wife doing?
Oh yeah.
Jeremy, can you update?
Yeah, sorry, hold on a second. I believe she had surgery. I think she was, they had to remove a couple of growths of one of her lungs. And he made a post about, I think she was still in the hospital recovering. No prognosis, but I guess she's doing better than she was, which is fairly good news. But he doesn't say much, and my outwardly source that I don't want to expose doesn't know any more than what I knew before he said anything to anyone else. So that's that, unfortunately.
Well, last week I reached out to John, and I said, I asked that he give Marcia all of our best hopes from the whole Horn Family Community Congregation. And
about her too.
And he wrote back and said thank you. And I told him, you know, we're always here. Some good news. I don't know. Maybe I'm not at liberty to tell this. I hope she won't mind. But our dear friend Chris in Germany just today completed the last of her chemo treatments.
Congratulations to her.
Absolutely. Because this isn't, you know, this isn't some hit or miss community. This is a family. That's how I feel about everybody in this family. And in fact, I had an email earlier, and I guess it was, let me see if I can find it here, because I want to share this. No, that's the wrong email account. Silly girl. And Steve, was it directed at you?
What? Oh, the Peter and Libby?
Yeah.
They forwarded it to me. I just got it last night, and I responded to him. So I told him, I said the best time is just during the program.
Yeah. And so if you're listening, Peter and Libby, I did see your note.
Let me ask you on a weird note. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the fuck has changed, but I have had emails go into my spam folder from people that I have been receiving emails from for 10 years. And all of a sudden,
I get that too. Yes.
Going into spam. I had emails for people in my address book that are going into spam. Is that anything
same
else
thing happened to me
that?
Too. Yeah. How long ago was this, Steve, that started?
I couldn't tell.
A couple months? Like,
probably a few months, yeah. It was just all of a sudden, I'm like, why are these emails from people? No, I was getting.
I mean, I get this weird stuff going on. I mentioned this to Cynthia out in the Bay Area. I was trying to send her a recipe for the Dreamland barbecue sauce over the weekend, and she kept saying I didn't get the link, and I kept sending it, and bupkis. But she finally did get it. But in this case, Peter and Libby wrote on January 20th and again on February 3rd. And, well, darn. I mean, I'm not being flip. I never saw them.
You know what?
Granted, my email is a mess. I mean, things that should go into the spam file don't. And stuff that shouldn't does, but Thank you. Thank you for your kind words, Peter and Libby, about Little Miss Mocha and your kind thoughts for Darlene's beloved Alfie. And just thank you
what
for the kind
Alfie?
Words. Well, Alfie's been sick.
Yeah.
Darlene, if you're listening, if you'd care to update us, you're more than welcome to. And the poor little golden, well, not poor little golden one, but he went walkies a few days ago. And, you know, I mentioned deer ticks earlier. And he came in and, like, within 3 minutes, and that was like, oh, no, none of that. The poor little fella had picked up a tick on his right front paw. And before Annette could get to it, he had leaned down and, you know. But he's got a sore place on his paw that she continues to treat. And he'll just sit there and lick his right front paw. And it just, it's like, oh, little boy, I'm so sorry.
The poor baby.
I know. And you know what golden retriever paws are like. I mean, they get this golden fluff that comes up in between their pads. And he is quite sincere in his desire not to have his paws messed with. So we may wind up having to take him to a groomer just to get his paws tidied up and make sure that there's nothing residual remaining there. That's the only time that you can use the word groomer and not have it be disgusting.
I jumped over to John's page, and he did a short clip yesterday talking about that things are going well, all the rest of it. Nothing is definitive, but she's also going to have another, I think it was a CAT scan, which from what I've been going through would indicate to me they're looking for a disease that has a tendency to spread, you know, making sure it hasn't gone anywhere. So anyhow, John Brovido does have a page. It's a 4-minute clip that you can go watch.
Okay, good. Our best wishes continue to go to Marcia and all of his family.
He is so concerned, he's really not keeping up with the news.
There's times like that you let stuff hang fire.
Oh yeah, I'm that was not a bad mouth.
No, I didn't think it was.
To be how concerned he is about what's going on with Marcia, that he's not paying as much attention to the goings on, but he did make a couple of quips about the trial.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like real, actual, good old-fashioned family values there. I didn't think we did that thing. I thought liberals all we ever cared about was, I don't know.
Illegal aliens.
Illegal aliens. And
transing the frogs. Don't forget transing the frogs.
And making sure we have pornography and sex education in kindergarten and first grade.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And genital mutilation.
And the border wall. Ugh.
And where people – yeah, right.
And where people go potty and who knows. Ugh. Can I just tell you, Robin, I've said this before. It's not – I still, for the life of me, I do not understand the obsession. I don't get it. I don't get it.
That's because you're normal.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah. The come on. The maggots are weirdos. They're pervs. I mean, I got another one in the stack today. I got two more in the stack today.
The peach-colored perv?
No, in this case, it's a priest out of Dallas, Texas. Father Ricardo Reyes Mata, a priest with the Catholic Diocese of Dallas, was arrested by Garland, Texas police this past Monday. He is accused of touching young girls under the age of 14. And the and this is the thing, the assaults took place in the little girl's home while the priest was visiting the family.
God.
Meanwhile, the bishop of the Diocese of Dallas, somebody's thrown another some little imp has just thrown another bucket of brimstone on the fire waiting for this motherfucker. Bishop Edward Burns addressed the arrest of Father Mata, who had most recently been serving at Cathedral Guadalupe in downtown Dallas. And the Diocese of Dallas declined a TV interview, but Bishop Edward Burns said that the allegations are, you ready for this? Embarrassing.
Ooh, that's a change, because usually they just say they're false.
Embarrassing. So on April 26th, the 10-year-old made an outcry to her Catholic school teacher in Garland about Mata inappropriately touching her while visiting her family's home. The teacher alerted her superiors, and a CPS report was immediately filed, this according to the bishop. And when the diocese was alerted, the diocese's security department contacted the Garland Police Department. Finally, he got around to it, this is Garland Police Lieutenant Pedro Barino. This is a very sad situation. You know, we're dealing with children. The police took statements from the 10-year-old little girl and her 11- and 14-year-old sisters. And then the priest came to the police department and turned himself in. Sickening, to say the least. But oddly enough, I can see that in Rajawan. This one comes, of course, from the most pious state of Utah, behind the Zion Curtain. And it has to do with a man there. Dear God. Who got in a relationship with a woman who had a severely disabled daughter. And the man married the mother. Brian Kenneth Urban, aged 52, he married Paula Vigil, who told him from the outset, "My life is doctor's appointments and surgeries." She took care of her little girl, who had a rare genetic disorder known as RETT, R-E-T-T syndrome. She'd been told that the little girl probably wouldn't live to see her 11th birthday. And she made it to adulthood. She continued to have more and more and worse seizures. She lost weight. And so her mama put nanny cams in the house in an effort to figure out what was happening. And simply put, Paula Vigil said, "What I found on the nanny cam was footage of him raping her." Her mama said she could beat anything except for him. And young Ashley passed away shortly before this monster was sentenced to prison. Now wait, though. He actually offered up something in the way of defense. He said he had high levels of testosterone, steroids, and medication.
My testosterone levels were elevated to be extremely high in a short amount of time. I was in a dreamlike state where reality felt like a dream.
So he's pled guilty to 5 felony counts. The judge got it right, ordering him to serve all 5 felonies consecutively. He'll serve 5 to life for each of the 2 rape convictions and 1 to 15 for the 3 counts of forcible sexual abuse. Not to belabor the point, but not a drag queen, y'all.
He's gonna get his fair share of natural prison shiv, you know, dick. It's coming his way.
I did a quick search, and the one thing that came up, and I posted it, but leaving individuals understanding more than they can communicate. So that girl knew everything that was going on and was totally unable to do anything about it. The man deserves whatever he gets in jail.
And more. And a real hell. Whether it be on earth or in the afterlife. But to your point, Steve, it's... it's sickening, disgusting, the way that the MAGAs try to deflect from their own perversions, their own disgusting behavior, by foisting them off on people who are simply living their lives and not in any way doing any of these sorts of things. I mean, if I had a child of young years now, and as far as I'm concerned, I apply this to my own grandchildren of tender years, and I've told their parents, don't ever let them near a church, because someone will hurt them. And in particular, evangelical churches, and I They're not going to be in any danger at Drag Queen Story Hour, but they sure will be on Wednesday night prayer meeting, or Sunday school, or church outings, especially if they're around a youth pastor. And, you know, that's just my little bit of soapboxery, but, yeah.
Whoever's doing that, can you put yourself on mute if you're not speaking? Sorry to be a dick, but yeah, I'm going to be a dick.
Okay, well, and by the way, I should note we are well into the third hour of the program, and we are at 580. If we could knock down $280 on top of what's already happened, we would be let's see, we wouldn't be looking at a, well, as it stands right now, if everything, we're 880 for Monday. If we could get, wait a minute, sorry, doing the math in my head.
Mm-hmm. 180 to get below 700, and once you're below 700, then it won't be 1,000 on Monday.
Right, there we go. Thank you, Horn Chief Mathematician. Thank you. Oh, and Darlene says, Darlene said, same thing's happening here with my spam. It's been happening to me on and off for years. I even pay for ad block protection, and yet I've had tons of spam ads and solicitations in my regular inbox since January, like you, Roxanne. Thank you. I had, and thank you to Peter and Libby. I had no choice but to send my sweet Alfie to his long home on April 19th. I'm crying as I type this. It's been incredibly difficult.
I didn't know that happened.
Mia and me miss him terribly. Oh, I'm so sorry, Darlene. Darlene says, I had been preparing since January, but at times it hits me that he's gone and I'm in shock. I'm holding my own, but it's difficult to talk about right now. I feel my little family is incomplete. I would have called in to tell you and the rest of the Horn family, but I just haven't been ready. I'm struggling to talk about it, so I do appreciate the kind words and thoughts. And Mia's not doing well either, so my focus now is trying to address her health problems as best I can. Oh, Darlene, I'm so sorry. We all are so sorry.
I'm sorry, Darlene.
That breaks my heart.
It does.
It makes me hurt. You know what? Honestly, it makes me hurt.
And like I mentioned the other night, Lucy is still not over Mocha.
Do you find her going to places like like sniffing around places or going to places and looking around like
Where'd you go?
Where'd you go? You used to be right here.
Yeah, and she will she'll stand on the edge of my bed and just cry at me. And it's like a knife.
Inga was never the same without Brutus when he passed. Same thing. For weeks, she would run around the apartment looking for him. Look under the bed. Look in one room. Go to the next room.
You know, and you know, I'm not trying to shift the conversation or anything, but everything that we're talking about here comes back, of course, to Christy Nome. We've known how awful that woman is for a long time. You know, South Dakota was in the middle of a drought, but in order to please her orange Jesus, she put on a fireworks display that could have burned the area around Mount Rushmore, which is not its name, by the way, to cinders. So it's perfectly in keeping that she turns out to be an animal abuser. You know, how we respond to the animals who trust us says everything about us and nothing about the animal. Like Steve Schmidt said, there are no bad dogs. There are only bad dog owners. Oh, and I saw, and by the way, I saw a little Arlo. I saw the picture you posted a little bit ago, Christopher. Oh, what a baby.
He is. I don't know if you heard the clip or played it this week, Robin, but there's a British guy, and it's not the guy from The Sun, but works for CNN. Actually, I think he works for Fox. There's two of them. There's a British guy and a British woman. And it sounds like an older gentleman. And he was interviewing Christy Nome. Stuart Varney, yes. He kept asking, do you regret putting this dog story in your book? And she kept trying to redirect on everything. That'd be his one, well, do you regret putting it in? That's the question. Well, I don't talk about this. You know, I don't talk about it because of world leaders. Well, do you regret putting this story about the dog in your book? And he said enough times. She said, okay, stop it with the dog story. We don't need to talk about this. We do what we do. We all have our own opinions. And she said, let's move on. He said, oh, looks like we're out of time. End of the interview.
I'm glad he did that.
Yes. She's getting
rid of him.
She canceled her book tour because she's gotten so much heat from both sides over it. Even maggots don't like dog killers for the most part, as odd as that sounds.
It's not fucking credible to say, oh, when we discovered it was in there, it's your fucking book. What do you mean discovered it was in there? It's your fucking book.
Not just discovered it.
She read the audio book.
She read it out loud.
Yeah,
yes.
No. So she's not just a vicious abuser of animals. She's a dumbass. Liar. She's a liar, a fraud, a fake.
She's got terrible taste in men. Don't forget that part too.
Well,
across the 48th power,
Corey Lewandowski.
Kimsey, I never even met him.
Did you see the article I put in the chat about from the Financial Times that says Rubio is on the short list? Apparently,
yes, I saw that. Little Marco.
Wait a minute. What's this with the Financial Times actually being funny?
Well,
Marco Rubio's on the short list?
That's apparently what the article says. Can I just tell you, Robin, this is,
should get a rabble-rabble-ding-dong for that.
Yeah, I do not read U.S. media. I don't look at it. I don't read it. And I will tell you, I have found more in-depth reporting on non-U.S. media about the U.S. than I'm like you. I never figured the Financial Times would. My favorite was the one about the guy from. Remember the guy I sent you? The guy F. Orgers,
yes.
The accounting guy.
Forgers.
I'm trying to think. What do I read? I read the Financial Times. I read Le Monde, and I read
Der Spiegel.
Well, I don't read. I don't think Der Spiegel comes in an English version.
Deutsche Welle does.
Deutsche Welle does. I think isn't Deutsche Welle only? That's only TV, right? I don't know that.
No,
they have
I've seen written stuff from Deutsche Welle. At least I think I have.
I'll have to check it out. You know what that means, right? Deutsche Welle.
What? German
source.
Ah, German source. Okay.
Oh wait, no, it's not. I don't remember what it means. Oh, well, never mind.
Well, I know you're not on Instagram, and I understand your loathing for social media.
I'm only on one social media at this point.
But there is a guy, and I'm just going to scroll down here to see if I can see his latest posting. He does frequent posts about there's a German word for. And his stuff is absolutely fascinating. And, of course, his I watch it for everything, the words, the pronunciation. Oh, where is he? Most of my Instagram feed is Golden Retrievers now.
Can someone help me with Princess Sporkfoot of the North Georgia Mountains and what this uniparty is? And is there any chance in hell that she could be censured by the House for her craziness of late?
No. Well,
in answer to your second question, no. I reiterate what the gentlelady from West Virginia just stated.
You associate.
What the hell is the uniparty?
You associate yourself with my remarks? A uniparty is what they had to start blabbing about when they wore out deep state.
So now the uniparty is the new deep state? Is the new Illuminati?
Yes.
Is the new Rothschild?
Yes.
Oh.
Better than associating with your statement, who resembles that comment.
She is so fucking whacked.
Of all the times for this guy not to have a video in my feed, and Instagram is useless in terms of searching.
I'll share something quickly. You're trying to do that. I posted a video this week which blew my mind. I guess I kind of knew these numbers are big, but you don't know just how big they are. And he said, most people don't know the difference between 1 million and 1 billion. And this is how he stated it. I checked the math, and it figures. He said, if I was to give you $100,000 a day, you'd be a millionaire in a couple of weeks. And that checks.
Yeah.
He said, if I gave you $100,000 a day to reach $1 billion, I would have had to start it before the pyramids were built. That's just a billion. That's not the $175 billion that Elon Musk has. So right. I would have been paying you definitely $5,000 straight.
Jeremy, he doesn't have $75
billion. He's $175
billion. He's at $175.
Well, he's got $375 billion.
So, yeah, he's been there basically for the Earth's history at that point. Almost at that point. Jesus
isn't half of Twitter – isn't – but what's Twitter at? Like, relative to what where you bought it. Is it a half of the price? Third of the price?
Just about over half right now.
Half? Hey, what's the latest on trolls? What's that at?
What? It spiked for a little bit last week, and then it nosedived again. Which looks like somebody was trying to recoup their losses.
Scrape some maggot cash.
Yeah.
Off the,
yeah, that was a scrape.
Off the bathroom floor.
Oh, and Steve, in case
they call it the dead count mounts.
It would be worth it for you because I know you enjoy you love German. On Instagram, the name of the account is German Onliners, not one-liners. German Onliners. And the guy is just absolutely delightful. Here's swearing in German.
That should be a class.
Rating German.
Arschloch is asshole. Pimmel is dick.
You should get college credit for that.
German has a word for the small gifts you buy to mitigate the anger of your partner. I love this one. Drachenfutter. Drachenfutter. Dragon fodder.
How do you spell it? Scheiße means shit.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Scheißen means to shit. Schießen means to shoot. And fick dich means fuck you. Fick dich selber means fuck yourself.
Tips for visiting Germany. One.
Don't.
One, Germans are punctual, but Deutsche Bahn is not. That's funny.
Well,
I'm taking the program into the gutter now.
I remember the thing about Deutsche Bahn that's great is it fucking goes, you can get something to go anywhere. When I was there, I was staying in a small village. Near a fairly large town, and there was no train, but it was like almost like a trolley, but you could at least get there from there into the big city. So there's something on rails going everywhere.
Asa just posted the top billionaires. Who's the first one? What's that?
Let me look.
Bernard Arnault? Who the hell is that? What's that company?
Bernard Arnault and family. I don't know, but Jeff Bezos.
LVMH?
No, but
is it hedge fund?
No, but they probably know Clarence Thomas.
Ah.
I'm sure. Har-har, maybe it's Har-har's company.
Poor Bill Gates is all the way down to number 10.
Poor Bill Gates.
He probably spent all his money on liquid 5G barcode transmitters.
Mm-hmm. That shit's expensive.
Or he spent it trying to repair anything Microsoft made.
Stop it.
There was the divorce as well. Oh, is that what that is? Louis Vuitton Empire is the first one? Bernard? Okay.
Oh, by the way, going back to the...
They shouldn't be paying
taxes. Going back to the monster who's off to prison in Utah. Note from Micah. Sorry, but no. Can we please not glorify prison rape for the love of God? I really hate it when people express that sentiment. I don't care how much he might deserve it. And I think Micah has a certain point there. Prison is prison. He ain't going to enjoy it, even if he's never touched. And
Zero sympathy. Zero. Zero.
Yeah, zero sympathy.
Zero sympathy.
No, but I can see
Mike
the point,
is not calling for sympathy.
Point. No, are we a nation of laws or are we an Islamic law republic, like eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? No. It's an important point.
In that case, karma catches up with you, whether you like it or not. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it should happen or that it shouldn't happen. Yeah. I'm just saying karma's going to catch up, and it's a bitch, and it pays back in dividends. Like it or not, I'm not glorifying it. I worked in a prison.
And so you know. It's
that's an important point.
Nature taking its course, as it were. I mean,
look at people like Whitey Bulger. People got to him eventually, even though he hid and was a snitch. They finally caught up to him. It's the way prison works. It goes after himself.
Good old Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, he found out the hard way, didn't he?
I've tried to tell people it sounds really weird, but prison has its own little ecosystem and its own little bylaws and its own little culture. And as weird as it sounds, child molesters, people pick on the infirm and stuff like that. They're on the list on the, near the top, but so are cop killers and people who kill innocent people, and also people who bitch about their sentence unruly. But especially pop killers, because most criminals, the criminal code is it's a cat and mouse game. If you get caught, you take your licks, you go away, you come back, and you do it again if you're lucky. You don't kill the cop trying to arrest you for doing your job. That's the difference between our current defendant and most criminals.
I guess she means me to read it. Micah says, okay, and I'm turning the program off. I'm sorry, but that's no justification. I'm sorry, but no, that's justification. And in an ideal world, only guilty would be in prison, but we don't live in an ideal world. I'm offended by whomever that is.
Jeremy's like never offended anybody, ever.
Hi, Micah. It's Jeremy. Sorry I offended you. That's the way life is. Don't like it, tiddling.
No, hardly. We don't toodaloo anybody.
Tell me how I'm wrong. How am I glorifying what's going to happen?
Well, no, I mean,
you're not glorifying it.
You're justifying Islamic law, basically.
I'm not justifying anything. I'm just telling you from experience. In the
American system, when we take someone's liberty away, at least in theory. Whether it be punishment, retribution, we've largely given up on any idea of rehabilitation, and this dude's unrehabilitable. But there is an obligation upon the state, having made the decision to take that liberty away, to observe and protect and preserve the safety of the people we put in there. I mean, now this story does not come from the United States. This story is out of Turf Island, and it's disgusting. There's a trans woman named Sarah Jane Baker in the UK, and at present there is a movement called the Free Sarah Jane Baker Campaign. She got restuffed in a men's prison on Turf Island because at a pride event, she said she made a declaration, and it was entirely prospective. It wasn't. She said at the London Trans Plus Pride event, she said, "If you see a TERF, punch them in the fucking face." Well, initially, the Metropolitan Police refused to arrest her or even investigate. And the Metropolitan Police said it was hypothetical. But there was so much noise from the anti-trans assholes on Turf Island that eventually she was charged with an incitement to violence.
That's a pretty strong charge.
She was stuffed in prison, a men's prison. She is very clearly trans. that she was stuffed in an English men's prison. And this past August, she was put on trial, and she was found not guilty. And they have continued to keep her in prison. She's in prison in a high-security men's prison with over 1,000 prisoners on the Isle of Wight. And now the doctors there have made the decision to withhold her life-sustaining hormone therapy. They've told her that she cannot have her estrogen, but they're perfectly willing to give her testosterone.
Yeah.
This is sickening.
Robin, I think I would call that torture, to be honest with you.
It is torture.
They don't have an Eighth Amendment there.
But a spokes creep for the outfit that contracts the medical care to the prison, saying that offering to juice her with testosterone and withholding her estrogen is a temporary measure. While the health care team fulfills their duty of care to ensure that the benefits of any drugs we prescribe outweigh any risks. She's been on estrogen for fucking years. The spokes creep continued and said, "We are fully committed to providing appropriate care for trans patients. The only problem is that they think the appropriate care for trans patients is to juice them up with fucking testosterone." That is medical conversion therapy. It is compulsory detransition. And so I think it's safe to say that the prison system is inherently brutal, deliberately so. It's pure retribution. And I'm sure that what's happening to Sarah Jane Baker has occasioned no end of absolute seditious glee among sick creeps like Joanne Rowling and Maya Forstatter and the rest of those turfy assholes there.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm going to stop after this comment because there's no sense arguing about this. That's a completely different situation than what we're talking about from Route 4. Completely different. This person's innocent. This other person's caught on a fucking nanny cam raping an invalid. Fuck them.
Yeah, I have no problem hating the dude. Some people earn hate.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not mad. I'm just stating a fact. That's all. Like I said, I let it go now. I'm not mad about it. It is what it is, but prior knowledge tells me something else will happen. It's not cut and dry as they'll be protected. They won't be. There are dirty officers in the prisons. I'll give you that don't care either. They'll turn their back. It'll happen. I almost guarantee it.
Oh, I don't think anybody's arguing about it happening. I think the question is whether we speak of it approvingly or accept it instead of saying, this shit needs to be reformed. And I think it does need to be reformed. I mean, look, let's be entirely candid here. If it was up to me, Mango Mussolini would spend the rest of his days in prison. I don't want him beaten. I don't want him harmed. I want him imprisoned for his violations of the laws of this country. And I want him to have the rest of his natural born days to try to come to the realization that no, he is not perfect. He has never been perfect. And that his goddamn game is finally at an end.
On that same vein, we have the FBI, in a sense, or arguably, because of the absolute corruption of organized crime in Chicago that created a governmental system that if you paid the grift to the mob bought the government, and you could operate free and clear. And I bring that up only in so much as what's going on down in Florida. Because clearly that judge is obstructing justice in the case of Donald J. Trump and our national security because it deals with classified documents. Is it not time for the FBI to begin to investigate this as a conspiracy to prevent justice from occurring? And should not the Justice Department somehow on their own move to change the judge?
The Justice Department per se cannot do that unilaterally, Roger.
I understand that with appellate courts, they can only take up what is brought to them, and yet we have the history of this Supreme Court telling lawyers, bring us this case because we want to look at it.
Yeah, they're dirty. They are illegitimate. Every time we bring up the Supreme Court of the United States in the modern era, we should say the illegitimate Supreme Court. And I suspect that, and again, this is pure speculation on my part, I suspect that Jack Smith would be doing quite possibly more proactively, but it's the presence, it's the fact that he anything that happens has to go through the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. It's not just any circuit court of appeals. It's either the first or second most insane circuit in the United States. And sitting behind them is an illegitimate Supreme Court ready to rubber stamp them. There's maggot judges just like Aileen Cannon on the 11th Circuit. And, of course, there's maggot justices on the Supreme Court. And, I mean, here's one to blow your mind. The 9th United States Circuit Court of Appeals is often considered to be, and that's what, maybe Washington, Oregon, California? Maybe, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But it's deemed to be the most liberal circuit court in the country. Well, that went out the window a couple of days ago. A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, comprised of two Bush appointees and one maggot judge, yesterday ruled that the blanket across-the-board prohibition on felons possessing firearms, wait for it, is unconstitutional. The case had to do with an L.A. street gang member with five prior felony convictions who got 51 months in federal stir for being a felon in possession of a firearm. Well, Carlos B., B-E-A, who was appointed by Dim Leader, wrote the opinion for the other consenting judge, and said that the Bruin decision, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, requires that the government show that there's a historical tradition that supports the categorical prohibition on defendants such as the defendant herein, Steve Duarte, possessing a firearm. And then this Dim Leader appointee went about the business of declaring what American history is, writing, "We do not base our decision on the notion that felons should not be prohibited from possessing firearms. Such a blanket prohibition might make a great deal of sense. However," he said, "the very enumeration of the Second Amendment right in our Constitution takes out of our hands the power to decide for which Americans that right is really worth insisting upon."
the fuck is he talking about? Did he read the Second Amendment?
None of these maggots and these Republicans, these gun-humper judges, just take it as read that it conveys a personal right to own firearms when it does not. Nowhere in the originalist language of the Second Amendment does the word own and firearms appear in succession. I'm going to hammer on this and hammer on this and hammer on this. Keep and bear is 18th century bailment language. You tell me if I'm wrong, Steve.
No, I don't think you are. I think the other, another issue is if you read, there is a, the Constitution lays out what the term militia means. A militia is a state, we'll call it army. But if you look at where the Constitution uses militia, where it uses army, or it uses armed forces,
they're different animals.
It uses navy. They're complete. It's right in there. It's very clear what these terms mean. They did not. Whatever you say about the framers, they were very precise in their language and how they referred to things. What the Second Amendment said, and it talks in there about what is a militia. A militia is something that the Congress raises
in times of need.
In times of need. Because remember, context, they did not like standing armies.
Nope.
So now, though, and you know how appellate procedure works, it'll go from the three-judge panel, hopefully, to a request by the government for an en banc decision. Especially since it was a split decision. And somebody can smack down these bloodthirsty Republicans. I'm not suggesting that MS-13's out there closely, you know, being some sort of a Ninth Circuit watcher or whatever. It's MS-13, isn't it? Isn't that what gives us the fantods?
Yeah, the caravans.
Yeah, the caravan! But Bruga, warble, whoosh. The most liberal circuit in the United States just declared that felons are free to possess firearms.
Don't you remember that part of American history where the felonious flank protected the airports during the Revolutionary War?
Oh yeah, and at the Battle of Bowling Green.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's terrifying. If for as much grief as we give them, if I'm an LA cop, shit, I'm putting on another vest. I'm doubling up, kind of the way that they double diaper Orange Julius Geezer every morning.
Oh God, who's got that job? Rusty
they
the bailiff.
Can't vote. But they probably can't vote.
Well, actually, California has laws that allow felons to have their right to vote restored.
Right, which is proper.
Yeah. But I don't believe in
California, when you've completed your sentence, your franchise is
returned automatically. That's what I think so. But letting this guy with five priors evade incarceration because of some twisted interpretation of the Second Amendment. I mean, that Bruin, see, the thing is, Bruin and Dobbs came out in the same session, the same term. And they both relied on the same specious horseshit to reach their conclusions. That somehow or another, you have to be able to cite to American history and traditions in order for laws to take effect in the modern world. You know, the world that doesn't rely on muzzle loaders and doesn't rely on herbal remedies for abortion care. That's how insane these freaks are. But we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for meeting Matt's challenge. Everyone who did, thank you. Thanks for getting us down below $600. Or I got to do that. Yeah, Roger, whatever the number was. Thank you, Jeremy. And we'll close with a note from Darlene. Thank you for the condolences. And I was trying to avoid the Christy Gnome story because it's a bit triggering for me. Sorry for the awful pun. No, you're not. We know you. But I couldn't avoid the story as everyone is talking about it. How could someone give a sweet name to their pet, Cricket, and then do what they did to it? I mean, that's just sick beyond measure. Clearly, Cricket needed training, and she was too inept and too lazy to do it. So she should have adopted it out to someone who had the time and who cared. She has no capacity to be in any leadership position. I remember when Michelle Obama made it her mission to train the girl's Portuguese water dog, Bo. Michelle made sure the dog was properly trained while serving as an incredibly busy first lady. That's a responsible person. A responsible human being and steward of the family pup. And somebody who is an adult. Not like that horrific Christy Gnome. Yeah, well, I mean, Christy is volunteering to go and shoot Commander. And once again, the poor goat goes begging. Short shrift. Just because tragedy, and we haven't had our classical antiquity reference this evening. The Greek word tragedos, from which we get tragedy, I have read in the past, has roots. Its etymology is in what the Greeks perceived to be the pathetic sound of a goat that knows it's about to be killed. That poor goat, literally, was tragic. Goat song, tragedos. I think I'm pretty close on that. Darlene, thank you. And honestly, I've been worried about you because I haven't heard from you. We haven't heard from you for a while. And now we understand why, and we're so sorry. So sorry. And we love you. So that's the program. Thanks, everybody, for joining in this conversation. Sometimes things get a little heated around here, and that's okay, too. The difference between us and the maggots is that we can disagree without being disagreeable. Or at least we try. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to our challenge makers. Happy birthday, Ralphs. Celebrate it well tomorrow. Thanks to our challenge respondents, everybody this evening. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger and Jeremy, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, who is busily working on a brisket, and I've seen the food porn photos. Yum, yum. HeadOn.live happens because of Brother Deacon. And please, like each episode of the podcast, leave a comment if you can take a second or two to do that. Make sure you're subscribed to a couple of platforms so that when one of them screws up and doesn't catch the feed, you'll know there was still a program and that I'm not out somewhere engaging in my life of indolent leisure. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Again, the reminder, if there's anything at White Rose that you want, get it between now and June 1st, because on June 1st, after over 25 years of keeping progressive talk alive on the Internet, Ben Birch is hanging up the server, and the White Rose will go dark. Thanks for all you did, Ben, and all you have done. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. watch out, pay attention for when it's time to get your next booster. Wear your mask around the maggots. I'm pretty sure you know why. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as appropriate. And, if Susan Necklace comes along saying, Why didn't I object when she started talking about condoms? And avoid Susan Necklace like the plague. Yeah, because she is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.